The last verse of the third chapter of 2 Timothy. So that everyone who belongs to God may be perfect, proficient, equipped for every good work. So that proficient, artios, may be the of God man, anthropos, for every good work, having been equipped. So, God is saying that every Christian, as an individual, and here we are, should not just be a believer, but also should be moral, but also should be just. Now, unless you're a believer, you can't go on and be moral or just in the sight of the Lord. In God's sight, true justice comes from maturity. So that just being a believer is not what we're trying to produce. We don't want to just make you believe. We're just not happy because you believe. And this is the problem with a lot of churches and teaching, is they're content just if people pay their tithes and come to church and get in. And for a lot of people, that's all they want is, well, I just get in. And, I'm okay, I'm set. But it's not a biblical teaching. Paul says that every man may be mature in Christ. That's the goal of the church. Every man, it doesn't say every man may be in Christ. Every man may be mature. Teleos. Or artios. Complete, perfect, mature. In other words, the point of having an acorn is not to have an acorn. It's to have an oak tree. So somebody said, well, praise God, I used to be a grub worm, now I'm an acorn. Okay, that's good. Very good. Now you can grow up to be not a, what do grub worms grow into? Beetles, June bugs, So if you're a grub worm, you're going to grow up to be a beetle or a June bug. So that's not too cool. They're both ugly. But if you went from being a grub worm to being an acorn, well, you could grow up to be an oak tree. That'd be better. But if you were unsaved and you became saved, you could grow up to be Christ-like. You could become like Christ. So the whole purpose of your life is not to come here and hear what Jesus did. Now, that's what most churches do. They just go over and over what Jesus did, thinking that if we go over this enough, people will become Christians. Well, yeah, but that's not the goal. That's just the door. There's a difference between the goal and the door. There's a difference between beginning and end. The beginning, yes, you have to believe in Jesus, but that's not the end. The end of your faith, the purpose of your faith is faith active in love. The end of your faith is that you would be mature so that you could lead your family, minister in the church, and be a servant to this world. So you are part of a civil society, you are part of a church society, and you are part of a family. Those are all three institutions that God put in the earth, and he has commands and duties and responsibilities for every one of those. Now, most Christians don't do a good job in the civil realm. They barely vote, let alone become active, because they don't care about their neighbor in a civil way. And they feel like, well, with the neighbor, at least I didn't kill him. Okay, that's very good. That's better than killing him, is you didn't kill him. But you really didn't love him. You really didn't care for him. You neither witnessed to him through the church, nor did you make sure he didn't live in a hovel through the civil society. So the gains that have been made in civil society over the years have been due to the church. And the gains in the church have been due to the family, and the gains in the family have been due to individuals being produced who are mature, wise, prudent, virtuous, and so on. So we have very few men in politics today who are wise and virtuous. If they're wise, they're not virtuous. In other words, they're smart. They know how to be crooked. Or if they're virtuous, they're not very wise because they don't get anything done. So they're neither wise nor virtuous. Or they're one or the other, but you have to have both in order to be effective. So our political scene is completely, you know, if you're the light and salt of the world, as Jesus says, we're not doing much lighting and salting. There's some, but it's not mature. And see, we're content if we just did a little bit. Well, I did a little bit. I know, but that's really not the goal. And the same thing then in the church, and the same thing then in the family. It's the individual that's the problem. We're getting people justified by faith, but we're not getting them sanctified in the soul or purified, made holy in their lives, their behavior, their bodies. So we're only producing one-third of Christianity when we get people saved. That's been my ministry from the beginning, is really, I'm not trying to build a bigger church out of just justified people. That's what most churches, all church growth, has to do with skip two and three and just go for one and just get as many as you can. So that would show maturity, because you had, you know, 5,000 church members. You were a great church. That's called a great church. A church of 5,000 members, like out here on the highway. Gary's got 6,000 or 7,000 members. Well, that's good. That's very good. That doesn't make it a great church. He just has 6,000 problems. He just has 6,000 problems. That's all he's got. So I don't envy him and say, oh, boy, I wish I had his big building and big staff and big. I don't envy him. I feel sorry for the guy, because he's out there, you know, getting bigger and bigger and so on and so forth, thinking that big is going to amount to something someday. Well, if we're bigger, we can get a good music team, and if we're bigger, we can have a bowling alley, and they already have a what's that coffee thing? Starbucks. They already have a Starbucks in there, and
in the church.
Yeah, in the church. Yeah, and they got everything, and so it's, you know, it's nice. It's very nice. But you know what? It has nothing to do with Christianity. It's nothing. So they have a you know, a library and a Starbucks and, you know, youth center and school, and that's all great. But it has nothing to do with Christianity. And so I just want to return to the biblical thing. And I'm not against Gary. I like him. I think he's a great guy, and I think he loves Jesus. I think he's a real Christian. If you heard his story, he's got a great story. I believe in the guy. But I don't want to emulate or copy or be part of his satellite, you know, system. He invited me to, but I don't want to. Why? Because I don't think that's what church is about. I don't think growth, external growth, and I think he knows that too. In fact, I'm sure of it. I've heard him say it. Just getting big numbers is not the last book in the Bible. You know, Numbers is a book. I don't think you'd have no numbers, but I don't think having numbers is the issue. I think the reason we don't have numbers is not because I'm a bad pastor, which I may be a bad pastor, but it's not because I didn't get the numbers. That's because I didn't get the numbers that I had mature. It's not that, you know, we're little. That's just a symptom of our deeper sickness, which is I've failed to communicate the truth. Now, whether that's my fault or just the way things are, or God hates me or whatever, I'm not even asking that question. I don't even care whether God's against me or whether it's all my sin or whether, you know, it's just tough to do the job or whatever. I'm not even caring about that. I'm just saying that's not my goal. My goal is not to get the fruit to prove that I have it. My goal is to have it. And so I'm going to give you some scriptures this morning to show you that I am absolutely correct I'm gonna prove it to you. I'm not proving to you to myself. I know I'm right. I know that that's what the scripture teaches. Maturity in Christ. Every individual, and I'm really, if you wanted to see where I am at any given time, don't really look at the church. Just look at Peggy. That's where, now if I fail with her, I've failed. You know, if I fail with her, I've failed. And so everything is I've told her that, Peg, everything is, you know, right, riding on this right here, our relationship here. Now, if you don't cooperate, you know, the whole thing's going to fall apart. No, that's a joke. But the truth is, no, Peggy's whole weight is put on me. It isn't up to her to cooperate. It's up to me to deliver the goods, to live in such a way, fast, pray, care for her, love her, and so on and so forth. So I'm not even worried about other people getting mature in Christ. I'm working on me. I'm not working on anybody else. You say, well, you know, as a pastor, how you doing? Well, I'm really not. I'm not even claiming much. I mean, I'm just trucking along, you know, doing what I think is right. And I am such a big problem, I don't even get past me. I don't even get past me. I don't know if some of you are that way or not. Now, it isn't that the truth isn't going out. I know the truth is going out. I know the truth. I know what the truth is. But, you know, knowing about God and knowing the truth doesn't help you to be mature. I mean, it helps. It's not a bad start, but it's a start. It's certainly not a finish. The finish is every man mature in Christ. And the body of Christ today may be a problem, but that's not my problem. Maybe the body of Christ today is all mixed up and so on, but it's not my problem. My problem is just for me to grow. And there's nobody hindering me. How many know that you could actually read your Bible every day? Nobody's stopping you. Hey, don't read that Bible. You know, you're not thrown in jail because of it, or, you know, the devil won't make you sick or something. You can actually read it. So no one's stopping you. You know, isn't that neat? I mean, you have the permission of God to do it. And no one can stop you. And no one's stopping you from coming here. No one's stopping you from praising God. No one's stopping you from doing anything. So really, there's no hindrances in our life. It's just you need to know, and that's all I'm doing today is just letting you know, you're supposed to be mature. I mean, you don't have to even tell little children that. They know just by being a little kid, I want to grow up to be like Mom. I'm going to grow up to be like Dad. I'm going to grow up to be like Pastor Jim. Little kids just know that. They look for people that they want to copy or emulate. And if their parents don't do a good job, they'll find an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent, or they'll find somebody, or a gang member. They'll find somebody that they can emulate. Every little kid just like that. I mean, they are smarter than church people. God says this in the Old Testament. He said, you know, it's funny to me that my people have forgotten me. You know, the ox doesn't even know who his master is. He said, well, that's never happened in the natural world, but it happens with my people. Jewish people have forgotten the God that made them and created them and made them into a nation. He said, you know, so we are not maturing to the point where God wants us to be mature. And that is my only goal as a pastor. It's not to have a big church or a good church or a great church or a clean church or anything. It's just to get every man mature in Christ. That's not easy. That is not easy. I thought it was going to be easy. Well, first I get myself in line and get Peg going and get the kids in shaped up. Then we'll go on to bigger and greater things. Well, it doesn't work out that way. And the bog down is not the kids and Peggy. It's me. I'm the bog down. It's like, whoa, God, this thing is not as easy as I thought it was going to be. I thought I'd just get a little head knowledge, you know, got some degrees behind me. I know a lot of answers. Hey, just go out there, preach the gospel message, get that down good. Give them the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and on all the formulas and all the things, and that's good. Praise God. And that, we've been doing that. I'm doing that. But I just want you to know what the goal is. The goal, I'm not doing that for my health. I'm doing that, first of all, for myself to grow. I love my preaching. I just think it's wonderful. I just love it. I enjoy it so much. Even though I'm the guy talking, even while I'm talking, I'm listening to what I'm talking. Because if I'm telling you my stuff, I cancel that out. You all have one of those filters on you? You filter out the stuff that's in the flesh. And I do come up with flesh stuff every now and again. I do. And I'm always amazed that people can pick that out. I'm always amazed. They can tell what is of me and what is not, where it's from the Holy Spirit. But lest anyone become discouraged along the way, or excuse yourself, because you're really not limited just because I'm a slow learner and going slow. You're still not limited. You can talk to God on your own. Maybe you didn't know it, so I'm going to let you know. You actually can go home, read the Bible on your own, you can pray on your own, you can worship God, you can forgive people, and you can do all of that. And you have the permission to do it. So you're okay. See, no one is stopping you from falling in love with Jesus. No one's stopping you from reading the Bible. No one makes me get up in the morning and spend an hour or two in prayer, at least. I get up 5, 6, somewhere in there, every day, just like clockwork. So it's hard. I try to go to bed then early enough to get the 7 or 8 hours that I'm going to need. But usually I don't get 7 or 8 hours, but I get at least 6 or so. But you just wake up and your eyes are just, you know, wide open. At, you know, no matter when I go to bed, I'm going to wake up at 5 or 5:30 or 6. I mean, that's just clockwork. And you can train yourself to do that, so it's not that hard. But I don't need a clock. I don't think I've ever heard an alarm clock. Well, yeah, I have a few times, but I don't hear them very often because I just get up. Whether I'm here in Texas or somewhere else, I just get up. So you have to discipline your life to get plenty of sleep and then wake up in time. And it's good to get up early in the morning. It's better than staying up late at night. Because early in the morning, there's nobody around. And early in the morning, it's quiet. I mean, there's not a, you know, Peggy's snoring logs. You know, she's just snoring away. You know, and I like that. I like her sleeping in. It's good. Because I love to get up and go to my, I have an office, just a dedicated part of the house. It's all just for me. I go in there and I like it. Got all my books in there. I feel learned just to walk in. Feel like I'm learning something just to read the titles. They go along. Yeah, they got all my papers. I got everything there strewn around, but they're there nonetheless. And I don't know where everything is. In fact, I hardly know where anything is. But anyway, I got an office that I can go to. And, you know, my goal in life and my prayer this morning to God is not about other people. It's about me. I'm not trying to fix up the world, fix up the church, fix up the family. I'm trying to fix up me every day to be mature in Christ. Hey, that's another thing I learned. You got to do it on a daily basis. Now, I thought if you did it on Tuesday, you'd probably have a little residual for Wednesday. But it doesn't. I noticed every day when I get up, I'm kind of back where I started from the day before. Has anybody else experienced that? So that's why I'm not sure I'm a very good pastor, because I have to start in kindergarten every single day. It's just like I never seem to gain some great momentum. It seems like I actually have to start from goo-goo, gaga. I have to start every day back at the beginning. Let me see. Let me go over the gospel again. I sin, you forgive. You know, I have to go over it continually. I don't seem to just like have it down. Now, when I get it cranked up, I'm okay. I kind of, yeah, it starts to fall in place. Click, 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 click. But I got to go through the clicks again. Just like turning on the computer, you know, first of all, you have to do this and then press this and so on to get all that stuff out of the screen. Of course, I have one of those old ones that goes real slow. I don't have one like Peggy. She just gets on. It's going like that. And she's got everything, whatever you're supposed to have. I'm still back in the early days when they had them, you know, from Tandy Corporation. Put your name in, you know, and I don't even know how you work it. The only thing I know is to type in it. That's all I know to do. I don't have any other use for it. I don't want to be on the internet and all that. Peggy's on everything, ESL or whatever it is, and whatever, DSL, something. I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, she's got it, you know. She's zip fast. She goes, she's like that. You know, mine is And I wait for it to come up. Very good. But that's all right, because I'm a slow thinker anyway, so that gives me plenty of time to think. See, I mean, Peggy doesn't, she's not thinking like that, so she just, you know, and she came in this morning with some stuff she'd already gotten out of the thing. And, you know, she keeps me informed as to where the world is. Jim, just stop what you're doing right now. Listen to this. It's Robert E. Lee's birthday or something today, and so she was reading me something about Robert E. Lee or some kind of thing. I can't hear anymore, so I'm not sure I've heard the whole story, and I can't even see that well. Is that you, Peg? You know, but I'm plugging away. But my goal through all of this, my goal is I never lose it. I don't ever lose my focus. I within seconds, I can get back to, oh, yeah, it's all about me not being immature. Because I feel every day I'm immature. I feel I never start out in maturity. I always start out in baby. Is anybody else like me? I'm in at the baby level. I got to go over it again. Let me think. You know, it's like I never learned anything the day before. I got to learn everything again. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot worship. Oh, yeah. Okay. Cancel all that. Get back to worship. And I have to go through my lines every day. Every day I start all over again. And I got to confess my sins. I got to worship Him. Got to love the neighbor. Got to ask forgiveness for what I've done wrong. I got to review all the stuff I'm supposed to do every day. I'm just overwhelmed with things I haven't done yet. I mean, the year has just begun, and I'm still back, I think, in 2002. I'm still back in 2002. I'm serious. I'm still trying to clean up stuff that's been there forever, and I can't even handle the stuff that comes up. You know, I there's so many things, and I get new things, and I just want to go on to the new thing and skip all the stuff I'm supposed to do and go on to something new. Does anyone else have that affliction? I'm afflicted that way, that something will just come up, and I got 20 things already on the list. I just skip all those and go do that thing and think, well, somehow they'll all work out or something. I'll get back to those later. And then I forget where they are, and I've hidden that paper somewhere, and I can't find it. So I am a complete mess. And if it weren't for Jesus forgiving me and promising that He'll finish everything, I would just quit. Because I've just never gotten organized, ever. I have never been organized. And I'll get to reading something or writing, and I'll forget what time it is. So Peg has to call me up, usually. Jim, now don't forget you have Bible study today. I know, I got that. You know, well, I got it when she's talking to me. But as soon as she hangs up, I get into a book or something, and I forgot about it. And then I'll think, oh, I got to take a shower. Then, you know, I'm already an hour late. I mean, you know, I just don't have any discipline, but I believe in discipline. I totally believe in it. How many know that believing is not the same thing as doing? It's just I believe in it. Some say, well, don't you believe in discipline? Oh, yeah. I think it's great. I just don't do it, but I'm working at it. All right. So today I'm going to give you some scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:17, we started with that one. Matthew 5:48. This is a great one from Jesus. 2 Timothy 3:17, that every man of God, or that the man of God, may be perfect or complete or sufficient in every way. But this one is Matthew 5:48, and here's what it says. Be you therefore perfect. I just want you to note that word perfect. Be you therefore perfect. Now he's going to define what that means, because I might think, you know, what is perfect? An acorn becoming an oak tree, that's perfect. That's mature. So what would perfect in my life be? Even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Oh, now there it's defined. Jim, I want you to be just like God. Ah. So every man mature in Christ, you know, pressing on to the high holy mark and the stature of Jesus and all that. Okay, so Christ-like, being like Christ, that would be perfect. Well, how am I doing? I'm doing pretty good in some areas, but then I'm not so good in other areas. I just find every day I'm not really perfect yet. But in some ways, I kind of get some credit. because I did say I was sorry for my sin, and that was right. And then I did actually do a good thing over there, so that was perfect. And so I have some credits to my account, but then I have a whole list of stuff that I discredit my credits, and they balance them back the other direction. So I'm not sure how I end up. So I got to talk to Jesus. Jesus, could you fix that thing? It's lopsided now. I did a couple of sins, and I think I threw the whole thing off. Could you fix it? So I'm sorry. You know, and every day I don't even know where I am. I don't even know if I'm ahead or behind. I don't even know where I am. Does anybody? So I don't feel I've perfected the church yet, because I'm not perfected. And even if you were a perfect church, I'd probably hate you being imperfected. So I want to be first. I want to be the first one, but that's the problem right there. So, but here at least I can see it. Be you therefore perfect. So that is a statement to you. Be perfect. How? Even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Oh, wow. That's pretty high. Oh, whoa, wait a minute. That is out of my range. I'm not even, if that's the case, I don't think I'm even in range. I'm acorn, just like a bug on an acorn or something big. But I'm nowhere near a tree. Maybe if I could get that acorn buried, that's another problem I have. I keep digging my acorn up. Check it out. See if we got any roots on there. No, not yet. So I dig it up every day to look at that. No, it's not. And, you know, and if I just leave it in the dirt, but I tend to examine myself every day, check myself out, see how I'm doing. How you doing? Hardly any roots yet. I'll put that back in and see what happens tomorrow. But if you dig that seed up every day, it's never going to develop roots. And that's kind of what I do. Does anybody else do that? You examine yourself all the time, and then you're never going to grow. Just stick yourself in the dirt and let it grow. You know, die. So most of us are not comfortable yet being in the dirt. You know, we're looking around and going, I want to be big like that tree over there, you know, like that person. But it takes you a while to get to Abraham's stature, or Isaac, or Jesus, or Paul, or somebody. It takes a while. And I think I'm ahead of some other people. That must really be discouraging. If I'm ahead of somebody, that's discouraging, because I'm so far behind. I'm not the standard for sure. Don't look to me as a standard. I know I'm technically supposed to be one, but I don't feel like I'm that great. But I do love God. I'll tell you, I'm a good standard on that. I'm good standard on confessing how far I am from the goal. I'm very good standard on that. So if anybody wants to identify with me, they could identify to this extent. How far are you from being an oak tree? About 175 feet, I would say. I'm still kind of an acorn down at the bottom trying to get a few roots. So if you wanted a standard, that would be that's about how far I've gotten. I think I've got a couple of roots, but I keep digging them up and have to rebury them. Here's another one. Ephesians 4:13. Ephesians 4:13. Now, Ephesians, that's a little bitty guy. It says this. You remember, I should really do the verse before, because this is all talking about apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors who are teachers. For the perfecting, that's that word, teleos, of the saints who do the work of the ministry in order to edify the body of Christ. Until. So, Pastor Jim, along with Apostle so-and-so, evangelist so-and-so, and so on. So, all those ministries, they are for perfecting you, perfecting the saints. That shows that a saint could be not perfected. I'm definitely a saint. I am a saint. But I'm not a perfected saint. And I may be occasionally perfect, but not more than occasionally. I'm not like consistently all the time perfect. I'm too well aware. Maybe I'm doing better than I think I am, but I'm too well aware of how far short I am. And I don't think I'm beholding him enough to grow, to be changed. Beholding him, we're changed. I think I should not pay attention to where I ain't, and I probably should pay more attention to where he is. And then I'd probably grow. But sometimes, don't you look at yourself instead of looking at him? You examine, check yourself over. Well, you really shouldn't do that, because that is not how to grow. That's one thing I've learned. You're not going to grow by looking at yourself growing. You know, imagine if a kid had one of those lines on the wall, and, you know, all the time he was always measuring to see where he was going, and he never ate or he never slept or anything, because he's always measuring himself. Am I growing? You know, the way you grow is you got to sleep and eat and just carry on a normal life and forget the growing, you know, that the pencil mark moves up. But little kids are smarter than I am, because I'm always checking that pencil mark. I don't think I'm growing. I'll go and keep checking that pencil mark. Has anybody done that? You look at yourself so much that you're psychologically an idiot. You're paralyzed by your analysis. How are you doing? That's a great question. I don't know. I don't know if I'm doing that hot. And, you know, if you put your eyes on Jesus, you grow faster. You put your eyes on yourself, you aren't going to grow very fast. So stop looking at your sins. Stop looking at, you know, somebody else who's better or greater. Look at Jesus. And that's how you grow. I haven't caught on to that quite yet, but I believe in that. I believe in that idea. So this one says, till we all come into the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Man, that's where I got to get you. I got to get you 1, 2, 3. I didn't write 1, 2, 3 up there, but that's basically it. I got to get you to be spiritual first, then soulish, then bodily. So we got to go along that line. So how far are you? I hope everybody here, and I'm sure of it, I hope everybody here is at least spiritual. You're at least an acorn. You're not a grubworm anymore. Okay, so we've made some decent progress. But look how far we are. That's only box one. We haven't even got to box 2, 3, 4. So in order to really be a good ruler or an overcomer for box 2, 3, and 4, you gotta finish box one first. That is a bog down. That will slow things down. If we could just get people born again and then move them into box 2, 3, and 4, we could hasten this process down considerably. The problem is, and this happens, the problem is, once you're born again, it's not the end. There's more to the individual. You got to be mature. So number one is how you begin. One, I'll put down 1A. 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 So this is one, this is two, this is three, Roman numeral. I'm using Roman numerals for those in listening to the tape. And then under individual, family, church, and state, or civil, individual, that's one, Roman numeral, family, that's number two, and then church, that's number three, and then finally civil or state, that's number four. Those are the institutions God has set up. But just to do 1A, 1B, and 1C, I got to get every man mature in Christ. Only C is mature. So to get mature, in order to get into two at all, you got to finish one in order to get up into two. So here's our problem: is we have people believing, born again. So here's our born again believer, but that's as far as we're getting. And we're making a little bit of progress on getting sin out of your life. Sin out of the soul. Sin sick soul, to make it a sin whole soul, not sick. Sin out of my soul. Jesus died for all my sins in number A. So that was easy. I'm a definite believer. I got 1A down. But 1B, sin out of my life, or another way of putting it, sin out of my life is the same thing as saying being dead. In other words, Jim no longer running the show. I mean, that is a bog down for me. I've had trouble on that one. I think some of you are in the same boat because of your leader, probably. If I would be less self and more Jesus, I think you'd probably grow. So I don't blame you. I blame me. I feel a lot of you have not gotten past 1A because I've barely gotten past 1A. Am I right? A lot of you are 1Aers like me. You know, 1A, it's not too far. It's definitely not mature. It's not a 1C for sure. It's not 1C. We're pretty much just believers. Pretty much just believers. And that's, by the way, that's called the just man. You're just. Hey, praise God for that. I mean, I thank God I'm going to be happy for the little I've got. I am at least a just man. You are at least just, made just by faith. Justified by faith, so you're a just man. Isn't that great? So praise God for that. That's better than being the grub worm, as I said. So we've made some progress. We're at least in box one, 1A, but that's as far as we're getting. Then how do we get 1B? Well, we then have got to get out of justified, and we got to start getting the soul cleaned up. And God just doesn't do that on his own. He's waiting for you to cooperate. There's the problem. See, 1A, he did that by himself. So that was pretty easy. That was a freebie. That was, you know, getting in on bargain day. But now you got to actually go home and work the machine or whatever it is, you know. But you went and at least got it. You won it in the contest or something. You didn't put a lot of effort out. What Jesus did on the cross, thank God, at least I believe in that. But now faith needs to be active in love so that I'm made mature. Love perfecting me. My, you know, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. We'll get to that scripture in a minute. But you know, that hadn't happened yet. In other words, I'm in the process. I'm 1B process, but I'm not done with B and on to C. Or at least, maybe in some ways I am already at a C level. I think in some areas I might be mature. But there's probably 1,000 and maybe I got 3 or something. You know, I mean, I wouldn't give myself a high ranking there. But you're not going to grow unless you see where we're heading is 1C, which is Christ-like. That's what mature means. Like Christ, you the individual, not forget the family, forget the church, forget the state, you the individual, mature like Christ, Christ-like, just like him. Like him in your body, like him in your soul, like him in your spirit. So at least I got this down. We're working on this one here. I'm going to put a little check mark there. And every once in a while, I'll put a question mark there. We get a little bit of love going out, a little bit of wisdom, a little bit of fruit. And thanks be unto God, at least there's some evidence that we're Christians. Some fruit, something noticeable by other people say, you're a Christian, aren't you? You know, yeah, that's great that you saw that. Well, no, it was the bumper sticker on your car I saw. That's what I figured you were a Christian because you had the bumper sticker on there. See, so how do they know we're Christians? By our love one to another, by our worship. By our, you know, some evidence, some fruit in our lives that people could tell. You must be a Christian. I can see it in the way your children behave. I can see it in the way, and so on. So there has to be signs or evidence in your life. For example, here's one that I know I've not succeeded on, but maybe one or two of you got it. Rejoice always. Yeah, that would be a good one, wouldn't it? I mean, if people saw that, they'd know, wow, that person must be a real Christian. They rejoice over everything. No matter what happens, they never get discouraged. I actually think I have that one down. It's hard to make me feel guilty. That's one of the reasons why I probably don't grow. But I don't know. But in a way, I do feel bad when I'm not right. But at least I don't lose my joy. I have joy all the time. Do y'all have? Anybody here got that? Well, you rejoice no matter what. I mean, you just learn to do it. It's not easy. It's not easy to rejoice all the time. It'd be easier to be discouraged. It does not take a gift of God to be discouraged. God, could you give me the gift of discouragement? It's not a gift. What's hard is to rejoice always. I'm telling you, that's hard. I've been working on that for a long time. To always rejoice. Always be upbeat. Always be positive. Whether it's my sin or somebody else's sin, ignore it. It's Jesus, but okay, you love me, don't you? And that produces a certain C fruit. Amen? Do you have that? Does anybody here have a little bit of that? I mean, just A smidgen? Well, that's not all bad. I've made a little progress then, not bad. So I want you to know that our goal is mature in Christ. But it's not as easy as people think. I know that. It's not as easy as people think. To be mature in Christ, to be perfect, to be like your heavenly Father. Well, you cannot even do two if you're still working on one in any kind of strong way. Now, you can do it, but you're not going to be really effective. Let's say you get angry or mad. You get into the family and you get mad at the other person. Well, that shows you weren't mature. Jesus never got mad at the other person. He suffered himself. I'm not quite there. I'm into making that other person suffer if they don't do what you told them to do, the other person being Peggy, usually. And I'll just yell and scream at her, and, what are you doing? You messed me up today. No, I'll just blame her. I'm a natural blame other person. Is anybody else like me? I just naturally go for innocent myself and blame you. And she's the same way. You know, I can't believe it. It's just there's a commonness there. It's the same way. She wants to blame me and excuse herself. I want to blame her and excuse myself. And then in the end, since you can't, nobody gives in on that one, you blame God. Well, God, the woman thou gavest me. And then, you know, she does the same thing. Well, if you were more of a man of God, maybe I'd be further along. You know, and she'll blame me for that, which is pretty accurate. I have to admit, you got me on that one. So getting people mature in Christ, I'm just teaching you the concept today. Mature in Christ, you just got to know that's the goal. That's what we're aiming for, not a great church, a great society, a great, you know, family. That's not my goal. Right now, I'm just trying to get everybody mature in Christ. It's individually. Because you can't have a great family without a mature individual. You can't have a great church without, you know, that's the problem with churches is the pastors are usually into sex or into greed or into ego or something or other. And it's just hard to knock that out of them. There's so much whorishness to the church that it's hard to say it's a bride. And at least I know the concept, but I haven't gotten there yet. I haven't gotten there yet. I know what the state should be like. I've got my concepts down, but that is not maturity. Maturity is not being brain. Maturity is not being justified. Maturity is being sanctified, spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, that you would be mature, spirit, soul, and body until the day of Jesus Christ. I mean, that we should be always pure and clean, spirit, soul, and body, constantly. I haven't gotten there. I'm still thinking on that one. Well, Lord, I don't think I'm fully there. Every once in a while, I feel like I'm there. It lasts about an hour and a half or 2 hours. I feel like, okay, I've got it right now. And I am so spiritual every once in a while. Is anybody else like that? It's kind of like spurts. You know, but thank God at least I had an hour and a half. But then I'll get proud or I'll forget or whatever. Then I'll lose it and go back to my old default system. Anybody have one of those? Kind of a default system. So you got to every day start in death again. Oh, yeah, forgot. God, okay, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm probably not. Okay, but I am sorry in faith. Okay, I'm not probably in my soul. Okay, get my soul killed. You know, and I got to talk to him every day like that. You'd think I would get it by Tuesday afternoon. I would have it for Wednesday, Thursday, and so on. But I have to start every day. I forget every day. Is anybody else like me? You start all over again every single day. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. You know, there's a worldliness that just comes up like hunger every day. Jim, what are you doing? Well, I'm going to eat again. Well, you ate yesterday. I know, but I want to eat again today. You know, and it just kind of comes up naturally like that. So anger's like that. Bitterness, fear. I think, well, I conquered fear. I've got that down. But it's just a concept. Because actually, I find it'll come back. Has anybody found that fear will just come on you and you know you shouldn't be afraid or worried or whatever, but it just come up. Or gluttony. You know, I mean, I limited myself to 2 cookies last night. But I wanted to eat that whole plate. Monty made some cookies, and they were oatmeal raisin cookies, and so they're very healthy for you. I didn't pick the bad ones. Oatmeal, that's good. Raisin, that's good. You know, now there might have been a little sugar in there, I don't know. Something that made it delicious. But I could have easily eaten all of it. I wanted to do the same with the potatoes and the, you know, everything. I just wanted to eat, but, you know, I held back. But I have to learn every day. I have to start every day. Jim, discipline yourself. Hold back. Let Jesus dictate. Let Jesus have this meal. Are you like that? I am. I could be a glutton just like that. I could just go right into gluttony. Does anybody else has that weakness? I know you do, so, you know, but anyway. So, because I know that's the first story in the Bible, is the apple-eating thing. Of course, it doesn't say anything about apples, but I know it's apples. But thank God you put apples in that salad last night. Next scripture, that one was, you know, the reason for the ministry is to make you perfect until we all come to a perfect man. So I just want you to get that concept down. The next concept down verse is Colossians 1:28. Colossians 1:28, and that's just right there. Ephesians, Colossians. Let's see if the Colossians is the next one. No, that's Philippians. So it's just before it. No, that's Galatians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, right after. You got to remember that. All right, here it is. 1:28, whom we preach, to whom God would make known what's the riches of the glory of the mystery among you, Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's the goal. That is the goal, John, is to get you perfect. No sin in your soul. No sin in your life. That's perfect. If I had no sin in my spirit, I got that, because you get that by faith. But the next one, you actually have to kind of like put a little in yourself, which is what? I have to meditate on what he did in such a way that pretty soon all the sin gets out of my soul, and then it'll get out of my life. Well, if you leave a little bit of sin in your soul, it'll come out in your life. If you hide it, it'll still come out. So you can't have a pure spirit. You can't have a pure spirit and then have a pure body. You can have a pure spirit and still not have a pure body because you didn't get the soul. You got to get the soul second. Has anybody noticed that? You can be made born again, you're a real believer, you totally believe in Jesus, and yet you still got sin in your life. You still get angry, you still get afraid, you still get, you know, jealous and so on and so forth. So how am I going to get all that out? Because there might be all kinds of things in my life. Not love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, good, self-control. Not that, those nine things. But I'll have things like jealousy, hatred, anger, fear, doubt, you know, bitterness. I'll get those. They'll just come up. What are you doing here? You know, and they'll just come up and take over my life. Have you ever had any of those? Like bitterness? Man, that can get you. People have done me in the past, and I still remember their names. And you can get bitter just thinking on them. Boy, I hate that. Man, that guy, you know, and then you can just get right back into it. If I would think about it, you know, I just kind of don't pay attention to it, but if I'd start thinking about it, it'll come up. And I'll remember after a while that it was probably my own fault for not listening to Jesus. But I'm going to get them good before I get to that point. And I can become bitter. I have a deep, vengeful, revenge-type spirit in me that it just has no end. Does anybody else have one of those? I have not killed that off yet. I've wounded it, I've crippled it a little bit, but it is not dead for sure. It could come up at any moment. Does anybody else have one of those? Bitter. I can become bitter. And it can just be at the flick of a hat or something. I can just become bitter just like that. So I tend to smile all the time, but deep down there's still some bitterness that'll just come out at you. And you'll see it. If you watch me carefully, you'll see it. It'll come out. As Peggy sees it quite frequently. In fact, she has a button called Make Jim Bitter button. And she knows just how to push that button. I say, Peggy, you know that button right there, if you push that button, you know I'm going to respond. Like the little chicken, they push the button, you get the little corn, chicken, put the button, you know. I'm like that. So Peggy, just push that button, and I'll go for the corn right there. I'll go there and get my piece of corn. Because she can irritate me. There's probably no woman on earth that can irritate me like Peggy. Maybe my mom is a close second, but you know, it is hard, you know, for others to. I'm pretty cool with other people, but those two women, I have a short fuse. Anyway, so we have all these sins. We got to get all of them out. That's my job. That's my job. But I'm bogged down myself right now. I don't have time to get to you. So if you feel like a lot of your sins haven't been gotten rid of yet, it's because I'm still working on some of mine. And I've got enough to bog me down. And I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. Maybe next week or so I'll probably get it. But right this week, it's still, you know, the first of the year, I tend to still be bogged down from the last year. But after a while, I get into kind of a smoother flow of things. But right now, I am well aware of everything I failed to do last year. You know, you have to write reports and stuff like that for 2006, and you know, you're just kind of depressed over the thing. It's, gee, I wish I could have something to write. It's positive. You know, and you have to kind of think about that. Well, what did you accomplish? Well, I know there was something. And you gotta come up with stuff. And right away, I'll be flooded with all kinds of things I failed to do. I am flooded with things that I failed to do. I mean, right now, I feel so guilty about so many things that people wanted me to do that I didn't do. I mean, there are just, and if you had a list like I did, you'd feel guilty too. You're smart not to make a list. But every morning I wake up and I talk to Jesus and I try to go over everything, and he brings stuff to mind. And it's not a smart thing to talk to Jesus, because he'll bring stuff up. And then I'll go, yeah, well, I failed on that one too. He doesn't bring up my good points. He doesn't kind of like enumerate all my great achievements. He just, I don't know, just spending time with him, I see so many mistakes that I've made where I'm not like Christ. Because the goal is high. Jesus, I want today to be, and I started my prayer out this morning. Maybe it's even here. Yeah, I did. Here it is here. Is this the 16th? Yeah. Here, you want to hear my prayer? This is how, I mean, I pray a different prayer every morning, but this, it goes something like this normally. Lord Jesus, I love you. See, I start out positive. Dearest Master, I submit myself to you. You see, that is a Christian right there. But it's just pure talk, because in a few sentences, I'm going to change. It's going to not stay on that high level. The world is full of darkness. See, that just kind of intruded in. A thought just came to me. It's, you know, I started out pretty good with Jesus, but pretty soon I'm right to the dark world thing. And then the next one comes, but you are my light. See, I got out of that one. Your fullness of life and hope and joy and mercy and love is my completion. See, and I was still pretty up. That was a good, I kept going. Oh, that all men. See, this is a very clever little move right there. All men. could know you as I do. Now, right there, I gave myself away. See, I should not have done that right there. I went a little bit too effusive, and so here's what it is. Forgive me for my sin. See, I mean, right away, I realized I shouldn't have written that last sentence, because that made me then think of all my sin. And then I was just going to say, forgive me for my sin, but I realized I wasn't being very concrete there. It was kind of like in general, you know, yeah, I'll just get rid of my sin. But it's like, what sin are you exactly thinking of? So let me dwell with you forever and be well-pleasing in your sight. Again, I tried to recover. Sin and darkness be gone. Fear be gone. See, all these things began to come into me. You're full of this. You're full of that. And you know, it's going to get real in a minute, you see. I'm not going to read that part. It'll get real. And all of a sudden, you know, I'll realize, gosh, I have so many areas of my life where I'm going nowhere. And then I have to ask Jesus, help me. Help me to see my sin and forgive me. Then help me to not do so much sin. And so on. So, I got to spend so much time in prayer. This was at 6:25 that I started that prayer out. And by 7:30, about an hour, by 7:30, I was done. But it takes a long time to get to the bottom. But then once you start hearing them, it's exciting. But you don't hear them because you're on the first few sentences part. You hear them because you begin to see all your failure. And that's when you need to have a God. And then all of a sudden, he begins to come through. And it's like, wow, thank you, Jesus. I love you. Thank you, Lord. And I get into worship. Okay? So every day, and this is what he talked to me about this morning, every man being mature in Christ. And me. Not talking about other people. Me. Me being mature in Christ. And I realized, well, I'm not. I am not. John, I am so far behind, and I need to be a blessing to you. I was gonna see you the last 2 weeks, but I haven't seen you yet. You know, it's kind of like, thank God that I think you worked with a few people and so on and so forth. But anyway, you know, the point is, I'm such a failure. I didn't even do it. When you shared the other morning, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me as, you know, bless that man, help that man, strengthen that man. And then, you know, I had all kinds of ideas flooding in my head and so on. I didn't check them out with Jesus yet, but I had wonderful thoughts toward you, John. You know, to, you know, help out. It's like, hey, encourage the man, lift him up, strengthen him. But then, you know, things just got busy and forgot all about it. And so that's the way life is. That's awful. But you got to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, forgive me for that. And that's just one of 30, 40, 50 things. Here's another one. Psalm 138, 8. Oh, I love this one. Does anybody know it? Psalm 138, 8. Might be the favorite of somebody here. Somebody read it. You know it. Exactly. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. You see, the reason why that's a great verse is because there's no weight on you. There's a weight on Jesus that if you belong to him, 1A, it's up to him to perfect you, 1B, 1C. Now, the whole thing is, do you belong to him? 1A. Yeah, I belong to him because I believed. And that's all it took to belong to him. Now, who's going to then get me from the acorn all the way up to the oak tree? Well, it's his job. So I like it that he does not perfect grubworms. You know, he doesn't make the June beetle. That's not what he's talking about. They'll just do that on their own. But Jesus is not interested in June beetles. That's not the end result. He wants oak tree, or in this case, a mature man in Christ. Ah, who's going to do it? It's not me. I have made my little efforts, and they weren't good enough, and so on and so forth. So, who is going to bring me to maturity? Here's a scripture for you. I will perfect those things concerning me. In other words, whatever's mine. Whatever belongs to me, 1A, I'll perfect it. Oh, wow. I'm going to stick on that verse. I like that verse so much. That is a great verse. And Barbara actually has memorized it, not because she's got a good memory, but because she needs that verse. Depend on that verse. I bet she's probably said it 2 or 3 times in her life. Like 2 or 3 times an hour. Because we have to remind ourselves, God, I'm yours, 1A. Could you perfect me? It concerns you. If you don't get me perfected, how are you going to win? How are you going to keep your word? You got to do it, God. No. Don't try to get out of this. Don't try to sneak out of this. You got to get me perfected, and that ain't easy. And I don't know if I'm helping. I'm probably pulling in the other direction. Have you ever had children like that? They're pulling in the wrong direction. Hey, I told you to stand right here by me when we go into that grocery store. You don't pull away. And here they're pulling away, knocking stuff off the shelves and whatnot. Hey, what did I tell you? And little kids are pulling in the opposite direction, and you're the parent. You have enough trouble as it is going in there to buy stuff, let alone having a child that's pulling in the opposite direction, knock stuff off the shelf, so on and so forth. And sometimes they just pull away, and they're around some aisle somewhere, and you don't even know where they are. And all of a sudden you hear a crash, and you realize, well, they're in the next aisle over. And they're crying because they got in trouble because they weren't as confident as they appeared to be. They were trying to pull away to get something or whatever, grab some candy off a shelf or something, and they got themselves way over their heads and pulled down the whole thing on them or whatever. And then they're crying. Now you're responsible not only for all the stuff they broke, but to help them to, it's all right, sweetheart, it's okay. You know, and that's the way little kids are. So they're pulling against you. You not only have to do all your shopping, but you always take the kid along, and then the kid won't behave, and then they're damaging stuff. I mean, that I'll tell you, that just could discourage you. Kara, my oldest daughter, who has seven kids. It seems like nine. You got seven. She asked me last time we were there at her house, she said, "Dad, how do you raise all these kids?" Well, I don't know, you must be doing a good job because you're down the road here. You must be doing pretty good. I'm not. Dad, every time when I go to the store or something, I got to take all these kids in the car and tie them each in their little thing. You know, it takes all day just to go down and do one thing. And then when you get them in there, they all go off on their own direction and so on, and I have no control over them. Do you have a solution for that? Because you did pretty good in our family. How'd you do that? Yeah. Shoot six or seven of them? I don't know what, how. Yeah, that's a good problem. No, I said, no, I have an easy solution for that. It's so simple. Anyway, then I told her how to do it, and then I did it. I told her how to do it, and then I did it right on the spot. And she was amazed. And ever since then, she's been able to go into stores, and the kids behave themselves. Isn't that amazing? Would you like to know my secret?
Yeah.
it was real simple, because I just prayed to Jesus. I didn't know the answer, but I just prayed to Jesus. Jesus, what would I do? Oh, he wouldn't answer. But then it just popped into my head. Oh, train the oldest one. So I called the oldest one, Stephen, the boy. I called him downstairs and said, "Stephen, your mom's, you know," she went upstairs to do something. "Your mom's having a problem with the little kids, all the little kids in this family. They run off and so on and so forth. What they need is a leader. I've picked you. I believe that Jesus Christ has made you the oldest child in this family, and therefore all the weight and the burden falls upon you. And I believe, son, that I am so proud of you that you are not, you know, just doing your own thing, but you help mom out." And he's looking at me, you know, like, not exactly describing me, you know. But I said, "So I'm gonna train you. You may not know how to do this. I'm gonna train you how, when mom needs something, you're right there." So I took a rag and I threw it over on the floor. I said, "Now, go get that rag." So he went over and picked up the rag. And I said, no, you did it wrong." So I threw the rag again. And I said, "Here's what you do. When mom says something, you say, 'Yes, ma'am.'" So I threw the rag again. I said, "Yes, sir." Went and got the rag. I said, "Okay, now we're going to practice this because you're the leader. And remember, Hannah watches, you know, Christina, you know, and they all watch each other. So the littlest one is going to follow suit with the one above them. And, so, and if one goes wrong, they'll all go wrong. So you're going to be the leader for all those girls." There were five girls at the time. "You'll be the leader." So he got that down, called mom down. I said, "Go get your mom now. I want her to do it." "Yes, sir." That's good. You got it down. When you go into a store, and I gave him the example she had given me. When you go into a store, you don't just pull off or run off or go off. You help her and say, "Is there anything I can do to help bring these kids along?" You know, it's on. So he came down, we threw the rag, he got it down, said, "Yes, ma'am," and so on. And, you know, my daughter was impressed because there he was trained. Then I said, "Okay, now go and get Christina, the oldest girl." "Now, Christina, you know that your brother wants to be a leader, but you're the oldest girl, and all the girls look up to you as their natural leader. And whatever you do, you know," and so she listened to that, and I threw the rag again, she picked it up, and so on and so forth. So I had him trained. So now, when you see Stephen, He'll be the leader of the whole group, but you will be the leader over the girls. And so I gave them each their assignment. Those are the two oldest ones. Well, it worked. So she called up later and she said, you know, it's really amazing. Whatever they're doing, the other kids follow right along. And they know how to rebuke the younger ones. They're very good at it. You know, hey, you get bad, you know. And it's great. So now she goes in and she doesn't have any of that problem. God has an answer to any situation. There's an order. There's a way to do it wrong, and there's a way to do it right. And God cares. And he'll give you the right way to do whatever it is you need to do. But you got to be a 1A. You don't have to be a 1B. You just have to be a 1A to learn 1B. Because you know that's what he's working on. Once you're a 1A, he's going to move you all right away into 1B. No sin. Well, that's going to take a while. That's going to take a while to get all the sin out of your life. But you just start out with bite size, you know, throw the rag, yes, ma'am, that kind of thing. And pretty soon you work on something bigger and bigger and bigger. And it isn't long before those kids are shaped up. So are you. Do y'all get it? For example, what would be a good one to start with? What would be a good one to start with? That we could all do readily. Rejoice always. What would be a better one to start with? Because that one's so hard. Actually, that is a great one to start with. You know, I mean, really, that is the one that God started me with. So that's why I gave it out to you. Whatever he did to me, I punished you with the same one. Is rejoice always. Why? Because it's a killer. I found in 3 years, he had me killed. I found I hated that one. At first, I thought, well, that's an easy one. I can do that easy. Easy. Rejoice always? That'll be piece of cake. But I found out I could not do it. And, I mean, it was so big that I realized there's probably no thing he could have asked me to do harder than to always rejoice. I mean, I could have griped. I could have killed. I could have done almost anything other than rejoice always. That one seemed like the most difficult of all, and it killed my flesh. Whereas anything else, I would have thought would have been hard. That was actually a piece of cake compared to that one. But anyway, after 3 years, a revelation came to me. I mean, a revelation, because I couldn't do it. And it's like God just spoke to me, and all of a sudden I was free. And I knew I won't have a problem in that area again. But it took a revelation. But the revelation only came because I wasted 3 years trying to do it myself. And couldn't do it. And the way I learned was fail. Until I realized, can't do it. Just can't do it. That's it. I can't do it. I can't. All right, I won't. All right, I didn't. You know, and when I got to the bottom, that's when God said, so this is what I'm going to, and he gave a revelation, and boom, and I realized, well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's going to be no problem. From now on, Christ in me, you know. And it was just a revelation that came, boom, set me free. That's how God gives revelation, only after you've done everything you can do. And it didn't work. Has anybody else experienced that? Yeah, that's how you learn. You don't learn by doing it. You learn by failing at it. That's how you learn. Because it'll strike your flesh. See, anytime you change the flesh, it's going to throw a tantrum. Anytime you discipline your flesh not to eat too much or not to speak back at people or whatever, your flesh is going to throw a tantrum. And that's normal. And I can't do it. How can God do it? See what I mean? I have such a little picture of God that he's smaller than I am. God, I can't even do that. You know, he's going, I know that, but I can. Well, what are you going to do? Well, I'll do what I have to do. That's it. Like, well, do you doubt me? Do you doubt that I'm going to bless you? You know, it's like, yeah, well, if it takes my death, okay, let's do it. And it does take my death. What do you say? If. Well, I meant, you know, you have to do something severe. If. So God is great. And you know what? I thank God today for not paying attention to me. Because I squeal like a pig when things are hard on me. No! You know, I'm very vocal. Is anybody else like that? Whether you say it out loud or whether you feel it inside, it's a fierce, violent fight to the death. Who's going to win on this thing? You know, and God says, I will. But I tell you, once you're free, you are free forever. I'm serious. It's just like, wow. I should have learned this years ago. Why did I wait so long? So God wants to get all the sin out of your life. This one says, the Lord will perfect everything that concerns him. If you belong to him, if you are part of him, John, you belong to God. He purchased you. He bought you. He brought you in, and you rejoiced for a season. Don't get discouraged. It isn't up to you. It's up to God to come through when you least expect it, when you don't know how it's going to happen, and he comes through. I'll tell you, you just become a praiser. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, you are really, really, really a God. Just the one I need. Next verse, 2 Corinthians 7:1. It's the one I gave you earlier. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Who's got it? Who's got it? 2 Corinthians 7:1. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Come on, we're giving away a free Bible. You got it? All right. Let us cleanse ourselves. Well, that sounds like you doing it. But then he says, perfecting holiness. Remember, you're already justified, but now you're going to be sanctified. Perfecting your holiness, what? In the fear of God. So it's, yes, you doing it, but based on the fear of God. It's God doing it. It isn't really you doing it. It's you doing it based upon God's doing it. Because we just read, he perfects. It doesn't say you perfect. It says he perfects. Now it says, let us cleanse ourselves. How? Because by faith, he's doing it, and you're just agreeing to it. Ah, that's a different way where your works follow your faith, not precede it. You see, it's easy for me if I actually believe that I'm a man of God, it's easy for me then to behave like one. But what if I don't? What if I'm trying to prove I am a man of God or trying to become one? I won't do it. But what if I believe I am a man of God? That in fact, I do worship God every day. I do love you with all my heart. I do, and so on. I am a husband that cares, and so on. Well, you know, it's the believing that actually produces the obeying. Otherwise, it's just legalism. Right? So, how much do you know about how great God is and what he says about you? He said he'll perfect you. Well, if I believe that, sure enough, it'll work. Because then I'll be able to do it knowing he's doing it. That takes all the weight off of me. Because my father just said, come on, you can do it. Which means if something goes wrong, I'll help you. Well, I can do it then. Just knowing that he's for me. God be for me, who can be against me? Next verse. Hebrews 6:1. We're going to get three verses out of Hebrews here. Hebrews 6:1. Who's got it? If you get this one quickly, you get Monty's Bible. You got it? Okay.
Therefore, let us go on and get past the elementary stage in the teaching and doctrine of Christ, the Messiah, advancing steadily toward the completeness and perfection that belongs to spiritual maturity. Let us not again be laying the foundation of repentance and abandonment of dead works and of the faith by which you turn to God.
All right. So you saw there, leave the elementary or the introductory or the beginning, 1A, and go on to 1B until you arrive at 1C. Perfect maturity, Christ-like. Where? In heaven? No. In earth. You see, churches have not taught that. That's why people aren't even doing it. Because churches have taught legalism, but they haven't taught that you actually could, by faith in Christ, do it here, now. And unless you teach it, no one's going to believe in it. So even if you teach today about perfection, it's kind of like most people, they listen to the word perfection and they go, well, nobody can be perfect. So they don't even hear it. Or they go, well, that's in heaven. Or they go, well, I'm perfect in Christ. They don't really listen to it. No, no, no. This is not talking about spiritually perfect. This is talking about psychologically, soulishly perfect. Well, if you don't think that's for this world, then you're not going to listen. And so it's real hard to teach this because most churches don't believe that. They're not working toward that. You don't. You couldn't go to St. Andrew's downtown over here or First Methodist and think, now what is the goal of this church? Well, perfecting every man in Christ. That's not what they don't believe that. They're not teaching that. Nobody's teaching that. Nobody's believing that. Then you could go to the Nazarene church. Yeah, perfect everybody in Christ. But they do it legalistically. So they're not really teaching it. It's very hard to get this. I'm just getting you the concept today, not the reality, just the concept. Get it down that the purpose is one seat. Not family, not church, not state, just one C. Before you can be a leader in any one of those or be a contributor, you need to be mature in Christ. So our first goal is only the individual. If we never get past that, fine. Let's just at least not skip over quickly because we're 1A. Next verse, Hebrews 7:19. This is a good one. This will amaze you. Stop. The law never made anything perfect. So the law can't get you to 1A, 1B, or 1C. The most the law could do is make you a legalist or make you feel guilty because you're not. It can't do any good because it, right here he said it, the law makes nothing perfect. Well, that's the whole goal. The whole goal to Christianity is not doing the law, it's being perfect. Well, what's that going to mean? Well, that means where God does it. Not where you do it, where God does it. That whatever you did it because it was faith active in love. It was a 1A whom God was working on to will and to do through the Holy Spirit to bring you to B and C. B is willing and D is doing. When the Holy Spirit's in you, you got a B. Now, how do you get the Holy Spirit? You got to have a 1A. 1A is get the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's then will in you, that's B, and then do, that's C. I might be willing, at least I know about it as 1A, but I'm not willing. But once I'm willing, but I'm not doing. But once I'm believing and then willing and then doing, I'll give God all the glory for that. Because I know I didn't do that. I know I didn't do that. If I find myself doing it and willing to do it and knowing that it should be done, I know that was a miracle. That is a miracle that churches aren't producing. So our little factory here is not producing one A, B, and C type people yet. We're only producing 1As. Like every other church in town, all they're doing is producing people that are justified. Half of the churches aren't even doing that. They're just producing church attenders, you know, God-fearers. Or, you know, they're not even born again in a lot of churches. So what are they producing out of their little factories? Nothing. Well, I just want you to know the whole purpose of this church is you come here so that you're a 1A, and if you're not one, let's get you saved. And then if you are one, let's get you then sanctified. And if you are sanctified, let's get you then so that you're glorifying God with your works, that men may see your good works and glorify God who's in heaven. You know, let's get you to that point. Why? So then your families and your church and your world can be blessed. That's the kingdom of God come. That is the coming of the kingdom of God. So now we have a picture, not a reality. We're just looking at it. We're just thinking about it. At least you're a 1A. So at least you ought to know what it is the Holy Spirit's doing, even if you don't do it, even if you don't cooperate. At least know what it is, excuse me, that he wants to do. So what does he want to do? 1C. 1C. He doesn't want you to stop at 1B. Some people are going to say someday, well, Lord, I at least wanted to be a Christian. You don't want to hear that. Say, well, well wanted. Well, you did well if you wanted that. Well, I did. I wanted it. I just didn't do it. Well, he's going to say this. Well done. 1C. That's a 1C. Mature in Christ. Well done. Oh my gosh. That'll depress you every morning when you wake up and realize, well, I'm not a 1C. I'm barely a 1B. I don't think I'm a 1B, but at least I'm thinking of the concept of 1B, and every once in a while I do a little bit of wanting, and every once in a while I do a little bit of doing, but it's not enough. And so I'm overwhelmed with how far I am from being an oak tree and how little my acorn growth is. You know, I feel I'm still an acorn. We're at elementary ABC kindergarten church. And you have Pastor Jim, such a great teacher. But it means nothing. It means nothing because it's not a matter of teaching. It's a matter of doing. It's a matter of actually not listening to something, but heeding it, doing it, being. It's great. So you say, well, at least I'm just. Okay, that's true. At least I think we got a whole slew. I don't know if we got everybody, but we got a slew of people at least born again. And that's good. Praise God. And I think we got a few people wanting to be Christians because people raise their hand every once in a while. But I'll bet a third of our people, maybe even half of our people, want to be. So we're moving into B, but we still don't have the doers. It's the doers of the word, not just the hearers only. Hearers is one, 1A. Wanters, that's 1B. Doers, that's 1-3. Actual lovers, actual worshipers of God, lovers of the brethren, witnessing to the world. You know, that kind of doing hasn't yet appeared. We need to get everybody. Now, it doesn't say get one or two members of your church that way. No, it says every man. Oh, my gosh. I feel discouraged again. Oh, I don't even know if I got any, let alone every. I'm discouraged. I'm defeated. If I think about that, I'd be completely depressed. I don't even know if I'm in. I don't think I'm a 1C even. So I'd have to lie a little bit, which I'm capable of doing. I'd have to lie a little bit to make it look like I'm further along than I am. But, you know, to y'all, I'm just being honest. I'm probably not a 1C all the time. Okay, I'll state it accurately. I'm not a 1C all the time. Do y'all see how sneaky we are? Yeah. So, anyway, we're not depressed. Why? Because I remember the verse you had. God will perfect that which concerns him. Hallelujah! I know I'm a 1A. That's a happy. Right there, I'm staying happy on that 1A thing. God, now you work out the 1B. Whatever it takes, you do it. I'm here. Here I am. Jim, are you going to do anything? No, I always mess up. Well, it's all right. Just go ahead. Just move. Don't just stand still. Well, I was going to stand still because I didn't want to mess up. Yeah, that's clever. Just get going. And so God wants to perfect every single person in this church. How many of you know on that basis, I'm a failure. I have not done that. Because I myself need help. So, is there anybody here who's already a 1C perfected? Come on, somebody. I mean, you're already perfected in Christ. Because that's possible, isn't it? You could sneak past me. You might have got past me somehow. Hey, how'd you get past me? You know, it's possible that you're actually a 1C. All right, have you ever been 1C for even a few minutes? Where you actually know the word you gave to your nephew or whatever, that was God. Yes, praise God, hallelujah. We got a little bit of, you know, we got something. That's better than nothing. Just a little bit of evidence that at least we got the 1A for sure, perfect. We got 1B started, and we got a little bit of 1C coming forth. I would say that's accurate, wouldn't you? Every once in a while, you do praise God. Every once in a while, you do have a word of wisdom. Every once in a while, your worship is pure. Every once in a while, and so on. So we aren't completely now depressed. Now we're encouraged a little bit that we're moving along. But you can't move along unless you know where you're heading. So all I want to do today is be clear on where you're heading, not brag about how much C we have or how much B we should have. No, let's just boast on this. Well, at least I'm a 1A. And at least every once in a while, there's a little bit of B coming out and a little bit of C coming out. Well, praise God. He'll perfect that. God, I'm looking to you. Hey, that's a gain right there, is to know what is it? Because most churches are not teaching that. That doesn't make us a better church. I'm just simply saying most churches are teaching 1A, stop. Just start. Just begin. But Jesus doesn't say that. I don't find any scripture like that. That if you just barely become a Christian and just believe, it's over. Only believe. See, that's the scripture they'd use. Only believe. They would use that scripture. Well, there's a scripture like that. So that's a great one. Well, I don't know about all that, but at least I believe. Yeah, but you're just using it as an excuse for not growing up. Do you know that people will use the good news in order to excuse themselves so they can sin? Are you all aware of that? Someone say, hey, brother, you got sin in your life. They go, well, you know, who are you to judge? Instead of saying, you're right, forgive me, and I'm not a C yet. We shouldn't be like that. That is a wrong attitude. People will use the gospel and say, well, you can't judge me. But what they're not saying is that they sinned. Of course we sinned. I mean, I've just told you that. That's why I spent so much time saying, I know I'm not perfect yet. I know I'm not 1C all the way. So I'm not at all surprised that I'm not perfect. But I believe in perfect. I believe God wants me to be perfect. Therefore, every day in my prayer, as I read to you and could keep reading, I have to confess, God, I'm not perfect, but I want to be, and that's why I'm confessing I'm not. Now you perfect me. You do it. Come on, help out here. I have pumped as fast as I can pump. My bicycle, you know, my legs are just getting pains in them. Right? I'm pedaling as fast as I can go, God, and I'm wearing out. I'm going to get worn out. My legs are hurting now. He said, come on, keep up, keep up. I can't. I just can't keep up. Could you tie a little rope behind your bicycle and pull mine along? Have you ever done that? Or get on a bicycle built for two? And, you know, we did that. Peggy, we had two bicycles. It took off one of the back wheels, put hers on it. And then she would be pedaling, but she really wasn't doing anything. I was doing all the pedaling then, you know, and she'd just be moving her legs around, see? That was a lot easier on her. You see what I'm saying? That's God. God yokes you together with Him, and He does all the pulling, and you just look like you're pulling. Hey, we're moving right along here. You see what I'm saying? You need to be the puller. No, Jesus needs to be the puller. That's where you got to get this thing down, where Jesus does it all. But that doesn't mean you don't do anything. It just means that when you're doing something, He actually did it before you did it. And He's doing it in you, then He's doing it for you, He's doing it through you, He's doing it all. To God be the glory. When it's all done, I'm not going to take any glory because I know what I couldn't do. I'm so well aware every day of how far I am from being an oak tree. If it ever happens, I'm going to give God the glory. If anybody here ever becomes perfected in Christ, I don't take the credit. I got to give God the glory. If I ever become perfected in Christ, I'm not going to give me the credit. I couldn't do it. I didn't do it. But I'll give God the glory. I'll say this, He did that. He did that. I'm going to say, He did that. Thank you, Jesus. And that's a Christian. It's exactly a Christian. It's not a Christian who says, well, I did what the Lord told me to do. There is no such person. That person has never existed. Nobody here has ever been like that, where He told you to do something, you just went and did it. No, He told you to do something, you resisted Him, you fought against Him, you know, you lied to Him, you did everything, and then finally it got done, but that was God. Right? You can't do it. You know it. I just think of anything that you've ever done that's right is a miracle. It was God. God did it. Anyway, I want you to see that the Scripture's teaching perfection. Teleos means being perfected, matured, as Christ-like as you can be. That's the goal. That's the only purpose of this church. Not to, you know, have a big impact on the world, and get your family in order and all. That's a result of you being perfected. You can't get a good family or a good church or a good state unless you have you perfected. We're dependent upon the individual, every man mature in Christ. Every man. That's not just Christians, but even the non-Christians. That's a powerful goal. Well, we already know we're not going to get everybody, but that's the goal. Even if we don't get everybody, we have to witness to them anyway, because you don't know who's going to come and who's not going to come. But once we get you to be a Christian, 1A, that's not the end, that's the beginning. Next verse, Hebrews 12:23. I love this verse. Hebrews 12:23. I love this verse. This is a great verse. I love this verse. Listen to it. Who can read it? 12:23.
And to the church assembly of firstborn who are registered as citizens in heaven, and to the judge who is God of all, and to the spirits of the righteous, the redeemed in heaven, who have been made perfect.
All right. The righteous, in most translations, says the just man made perfect. That's us. 1A is a just man or a righteous man. You're made righteous by faith. That is not 1B. 1B is that just man who is righteous by faith in his spirit now needs to be made righteous by faith in your soul and then in your life, your body, made perfect. 1A is not perfect. 1B is not perfect. 1C is perfect. Christ-like. Christ-like. Do you believe that you're going to get to that Christ-likeness, or do you believe you're always going to be just a 1A, you know, kind of just believing in the concept and never getting anywhere? Or you're going to be a 1B, always wanting to do it, but you never actually did it? Or do you believe that you could live today, not tomorrow, next week, live today as a 1C, actually doing the will of God? What do you believe of yourself? Because whatever you believe of yourself, it's really a reflection of what you believe of God. Because you didn't make the promise, He did. He said, I'll perfect that which concerns me. Well, you concern Him, 1A, therefore He'll perfect you. So could that happen today? Could you actually worship God today, read your scripture today, witness to someone today, get someone saved today, get them baptized in the Holy Spirit, so on and so on? Could you actually do that? Do you believe that'll happen today, that sin gets out of your life, you're no longer conquered by anger and bitterness and jealousy and vengeance and so on? You're actually free so that you can worship God, edify the church, and love the lost. Do you think that's possible today? You could be happy today? You could be free from sin today? Or do you just think that's pie in the sky? According to the Bible, just men must be made perfect. You're a just man, 1A, but you need to be a made perfect just man, 1C. You got to go through 1B to get there. You can't get the C straight from A. You got to go through B, wanting to do it before you do it. In other words, He can't make you want to do it. He's not going to force you to want to do it. You have to want to want to. And how would you do that? Well, looking at Him, when you see how He lives, you go, that's a better way. You know, the way I'm going is not, that's not a good way. The way I'm living is not right. I'm still living like a pagan. In certain aspects of my life, I'm still a pagan. You know, I behaved right there in that situation totally like a pagan would. And I know that's not the kingdom of God. I know when I look at Jesus, I'm not like Him in every way yet. So I'm forgetting those things that lie behind, not depressed over it, pressing on to the high holy mark of the calling, of the fullness, of the stature of Christ. I want to be like Christ when it's all done. Not in the world to come. This world. See, the churches have always taught that's in the world to come. That's wrong. This is not in the world to come. This is in this world. Keeping this, not only gaining it, but keeping it then every day. That you're mature in Christ every day. Now, Paul says, not that I'm already perfect. He knows he wasn't perfect either. So, hey, praise God, I feel better already. He said, I'm not yet perfect in every way, but I press on. I'm going forward. I'm not quitting until we're done with whatever it is the church is supposed to do. So our church is dedicated not just to getting people saved, not just to getting them to want to be good Christians, but to actually get them to do it, to actually be doing the will of God actively out there in the mission field, out there in the world, day by day. In practical affairs, we Christians ought to be salt and light to this world. And when they look at us, they say, your kingdom is different than ours. The church today is just so much like the world that it's very hard to tell the difference. Not a depressing thought. It's just simply a truth. That's not it. We didn't get there yet. We should not be confident and positive. We should always be, Lord, I'm not yet perfect. Let's keep going. Chasing me sore. Afflict me. Do whatever you need to do. Turn the fire up. I want to be perfected. I want to be just like Jesus. And when I see Him, you know what He's going to say? You're just like me. You're a bride totally prepared for her husband. And He won't find any spot in you. A bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Ah, that's perfection. She's perfect. And everyone in the heaven, the angels will all gasp when they see the bride, when they see the doors open at the back and they see the Father bringing in the bride and the Son waiting for His bride to come. They will say, that's a true church. That bride looks just like Him. She's perfect for Him. He's perfect for her. You ever been at a wedding like that where you felt, hey, these people are matched? It's beautiful. It's perfect. Y'all understand? But a lot of them, they go, ooh, I don't know if he should have married her or not. I don't think he's ready. You know, we've married a few that were, the guy was really immature. The guy was really immature. And you knew, uh-oh, And even if you fooled yourself, you knew this is going to be a tough one. This is not going to be easy. They're marrying a little bit premature, because the girl probably is okay, but the guy's just not. He's just not mature. I was like that. I was completely immature. Peg didn't know it. You didn't know it, did you, Mom? That's why it worked. She just never caught on. Amen. But you know what? It worked out. Thanks be unto God. There's a God. Because God, you know, worked it out. He matured me and everything's okay now. You didn't see the humor of that. All right. Last scripture. Ephesians 4:12. We've already read it, so we're going back to it. Ephesians 4:12. And he gave some, verse 11, apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That's what we're here for. Now you know, this is the purpose of our church. I hope it's the purpose of every church, but it's just for our church. I can't speak for any other church. This is the reason why the ministry exists. Apostles, those are the ones sent out, they travel. Prophets, those are the ones that tell what the sin is in that city or in that location. Evangelists, those are the ones that give good news to people and get people saved, starting new churches. And pastors, those are the local ones that don't travel and move around a lot, just stay right there locally. And they are indeed teachers, so that they're teaching the people. What are they teaching them? How to be perfect. How not just to be born again 1A, and then just keep the members going and have ice cream socials and so on. No, their point is get all the sin out of those people, B, so that then they can do the will of God, C. That's my job. My job is not just to keep the 1As happy. It's to beat the 1As until they're perfect. Isn't that great? Don't you see it? What a beautiful job I have. It's to afflict you and just... just constantly, and then encourage you if you get bleeding, you know, too bad, you know. So I have to encourage you if I afflict you too hard. If I afflict you, forgive me, because my affliction is supposed to be just chastening. It's just so that you grow up. How many know that being a parent, it's not easy. It's easy to indulge them, but then they won't grow up. And it's easy to beat the tar out of them, but then they won't grow up. So it's got to be somewhere in the middle where you speak the truth in love. It's got to be the truth, but it's got to be in love. That's not always easy. And there's a chastening that takes place. Yes. That is an excellent point. Oh, God is good. That's God. Isn't that good? God is good. His word is great. And greatly be praised. This is for your edification. It's for your building up. It's for your perfection. It's for your growth. You don't want to be a 1A. Even if you could be, you don't want to be. You want to be like Christ. You know, when you're born again, you didn't come in just to, you know, be indulged. You actually came in to find real truth, real joy, real peace. That only comes when you're mature. It doesn't come when you have a lot of sins and you go, could I keep this in? Could I keep this in? That doesn't produce real happiness. Actually, best thing ever happened to you is when troubles come, and then you start to realize, gee, I got problems in myself. It isn't just outward troubles. I got inner attitude problems. And that is, you look back and you say, oh, I'm not happy that happened. But you know what? God used that to perfect me. He uses the word, but he also uses circumstances. He uses the word, but the word alone, without the rod of circumstances, it won't do it. The circumstances alone won't do it either. You got to have both together. Thy rod and thy staff. We talked about that. All right. God is good. God is good. What did we learn today? That he wants us perfect. Not in the world to come, in this world. And that's going to happen. Every man mature in Christ. Every one of you, you mature in Christ.